We'll talk a little bit about Hanukkah, and if there's time left, we'll continue the Chazara. Hanukkah is one of the several Yamim Tovim that was introduced by the Chachamim during the period of the Bayi Sheni. There's a little book that's called Megillah Steinis that lists off all of the Yamim Tovim that they instituted. Rashi points out on Masechet Shabbos that why is it called Megillah Steinis? It starts Nisan year Sivan, goes in the order of the months, and it lists off all the Yamim Tovim. So Rashi says the Mishnayos was still being recited Baal Peh. Torah Baal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. And this is either the first or one of the first things that was written down, Megillah Steinis. Megillah Steinis doesn't only have the lists of the Yamim Tovim, it has a few halachas written there. So this is one of the first things that they wrote down from the Torah Baal Peh. What is the Tzara Shove? What's the common denominator of all of the holidays in Megillah Steinis? So there's a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara had the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around the year 70. And right after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a Machlokes HaTanoim that went on and on till the middle of the period of the Amoraim, where the Batla Megillah Steinis, although Batla Megillah Steinis, that we still continue to celebrate these Yom Tovim that were instituted Bisman Bayi Sheni. And as you keep on reading the sugya, the Gemara makes it clear that the common denominator of all the Yom Tovim is that they all revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. It starts with the comment of the Ramban al HaTorah on Parshas Noso. The Ramban says that one of the Taryag mitzvahs, the Ramban has a different listing of mitzvahs from the Rambam. Most of the mitzvahs are the same, and here and there he disagrees. So one of the mitzvahs that the Ramban has, that the Rambam doesn't count, he says whenever you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to celebrate. How many days you celebrate, and how many korbanos you bring, which chazan should sing, which nigunim, and how many members in the choir, and which rabbonim should give shiurim or drushes, how long, that's Hayroah Shoh. But in principle, that you have to celebrate, that's a mitzvah min ator. There's a sefer, forgot the name of the sefer. One of the Gedolei Achronim suggests that according to those Rishonim hold that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is Daraisa, the Novi Yecheskel says Benavua, Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, Jewish people will be sent into Golus, and nonetheless, they will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash where they go. So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, this is a reference to all about the Knesses, about the Midrashas, Shevibovel, all over the world. So the Rambam and the Sefer Yireyim seem to hold that this is a real din deraisa. This is Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash, a real din deraisa. And in the Ran on Megillah has a long arichas. The Ran thinks that it's only an asmachta midrabbanan. So some of the Achrayim have that, according to those who hold that that's a real din deraisa, it could be that the celebration that you have to make by Chanukah's Beis HaKnesses, when you build a new Beis Medrash, you build a new Beis HaKnesses, according to the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to celebrate when you complete building a Beis HaMikdash. And if, according to those who Rishonim hold that a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash have a status of Mikdash Miyat min HaTorah, it could be that there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to celebrate Chanukah's Beis HaKnesses as well. Yeah. This is what the Gemara seems to point out. The common denominator of all the Yamim Tovim, the Megillah Steinis, was that they all revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. So let's say Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, the Beis HaMikdash was being used for Avodah Zarah purposes, and they had to make a new Mizbeach, they had to make a new menorah, and there was tumah all over the place. They had to clean up the whole Beis HaMikdash. Every time the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle after the Nes Chanukah, they made a Yontif. Why? Because they saved the Beis HaMikdash from being defiled, or they saved the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed. It's not the same as completing the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's along the lines of the Beis HaMikdash. Then there were periods of time that the Bai Sheni was under the control of the Tzedukim who didn't follow the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara says that the Tzedukim obviously used to celebrate Shavuos on a Sunday, because the Pasuk says you start counting Sfiras HaYomim in Machos HaShabbos on a Sunday. That's how they translate it. And they didn't, apparently, they didn't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim. So they said Moshe Rabbeinu was always all high. He loved the Jewish people. So since he made the Yontav of Shavuos only one day, so where are you going to stick a Yontav in the middle of the week? So he made an extended weekend. Like in America, they made the president's birthday. When I was growing up, there was Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, and whenever it turned out, it turned out. And then they combined the two presidents together, I think, and now it's an extended weekend. It's always on a Monday. So you have off on their language, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So that's how the Tzedukim said, Moshe Rabbeinu Oivi Sol Hoya, and he made up a Yontav of Shavuos, only one day. Pesach and Sukkot is a whole week, so you got a whole celebration. And Shavuos is an extended weekend. So when the Chachamim was successful in kicking out the Tzedukim for the Beis HaMikdosh, and he took him Chagah de Shavuaya, the Yontav of Shavuos was established properly, that you bring the Korbanos on the right day, not always on a Sunday. It depends whatever Pesach was. You start counting Sfirah from the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So they made a Yontav then, because the Korbanos for Shavuos was straightened out. And also the Gemara says, the Gemara only quotes very little from Megillah's time. There's much more Megillah time, around 25 Yom HaTov or so. So the Gemara quotes a few, more than Chanukah, Purim, about two of the 25. And then there are others. Oh, they all have to do with the Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara has one. They used to write in shtoris. Like today, a lot of people, when you send out a wedding invitation, a bar mitzvah invitation, so you write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. A lot of people are excited about that. How many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina? So in the days of the Bar Yishen, they used to write how many years it is since so-and-so was appointed the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdosh. So they would write, Kavu Kohen LeKel Elyon. They would write Shem Hashem in the Shtar Halvoa. And then when the Loiva would pay up the money to the Malva would surrender the Shtar. Loiva would take the Shtar, rip it up and throw it in the garbage. So he has Kavu Kohen LeKel Elyon, has the Shem Hashem in the garbage. So when the Chachamim were discouraging them for writing this in the Shtar, don't write Shem Hashem in the Shtar, it's going to be thrown in the garbage. Like today, people write psukim, a wedding invitation, then what happens to the wedding invitation? It's thrown in the garbage. Very few people rip off the pasuk and put it in Sheamus. They throw the whole thing in the garbage. That's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says. We'll have to celebrate when they'll stop quoting psukim on the wedding invitations. So that has to do with the Kohen Gadol, a little bit indirectly. Because of the Kohen Gadol, that's why there was a terrible thing happening. They were throwing Shem Hashem in the garbage. And when they discontinued that practice of writing the Shem Hashem in the Shtori Halvoa, so they made a Yontif. It straightened out one of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdosh, namely the institution of Kohen Gadol and the institution of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin also is an institution of the Beis HaMikdosh. Sanhedrin is a special dinner should meet in the Beis HaMikdosh. The other one, the Gemara, has during the Bai Sheni period, the Tzedukim were running the show for quite a few years. And they permitted a private family to give a major donation and hang up a sign on the Beis HaMikdosh. All the Karbonas this year were taken care of by the Rosenberg family. And that's against the halacha. All the Karbonas have to be paid for with Machtzis HaShekel money. We don't permit a private person to cover it. If I'm mechuyev to bring, let's say I was Machal Shabbos B'shoking and have to bring a chatas and I can't afford it, so if my next door neighbor sees I'm in a predicament, so he can be magdish a carbon on Menashe's kapa b'chavera. He can be magdish carbon on my behalf. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that works by a carbon yochid, but by a carbon zibur it doesn't work. You can't be magdish, a private person can't be magdish the carbon zibur on behalf of the zibur. The zibur has to pay for it with everybody putting together the machzor shekel money. So when the Chachamim kicked out the Tzedukim from the Sanhedrin, and he took him to me that the Korban Tamid was established properly, so they made a Yontif. So if you look in the Gemara says, by Farish like that, all the Yom HaTovim in the Megillah's Tainis have to do with saving the Beis HaMikdash from destruction or defilement, are improving the Hakrovas HaKarbonas, improving the various institutions. Someone made a major donation, Yom Nikinor, someone made a major donation to the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Beis HaMikdosh was beautified. So these are all the Yom Tovim Megillas Tainus. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that, a lot of people don't know the Gemara. So they think, we don't celebrate the holidays of Megillas Tainus anymore because nobody remembers what they were. It happened over 2,000 years ago. So what are you going to celebrate today? You see from the Gemara that that's not correct at all, because the Gemara has a Kal Vachomer. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that they establish a Yontif, one of the Yontifim of Megillas Tainus. So the Gemara says, the Gemara thought that the Yontif was established after the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara asks, how can you establish a Yontif after the Churban HaBayis? Marach the Yom Tovim is Kal Vachomer. The Yom Tovim that was established b'zman HaBayis we no longer observe today. So Kal Vachomer, a Yontif, something happened today. We have no right to make a Yontif. Why don't you have a right to make a Yontif? Just something wonderful happened today, so you make a Yontif. So you see, that's what the Pirchodesh says. Poshim Shad Nigmar. There's a din of Bal Tosif. You're not allowed to add on Yom Tovim to all of those that appear in Chumash. Unless they conform to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainus, has something to do with improving the Beis HaMikdosh, then it's not an Issa Bal Taisa, then it's permissible. But if the Yontif has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdosh, the Gemara says, Kamaisa Batal, the original Yom Tovim that were instituted, Bizman Abayis, we no longer celebrate. Achronaisa Mosifin, so you can make new Yom Tovim today. For sure it should be also. That's why there's an issue regarding Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. If you think that this is going to lead to the building of Beis HaMikdosh, nicha, okay. Because the Achrayim are bothered with Akasha. How did they ever institute the Yontif of Purim in the first place? According to the Gemara's tradition, the Yontif of Purim, the story of Purim occurred during this, towards the end of the 70 years of Golus Bavel. By the Goyish historians, every 50 years they go back and forth. So after time they say that, like Chazal, that the Nes Purim occurred during the towards the end of the 70 years of Golus Bavel. And then another 50 years they say that it occurred in the middle of the Bayesheni period. Didn't occur. But the Gemara doesn't have two opinions. Gemara assumes throughout that the Nes Purim occurred, all the Agaritas. The Gemara always assumes the Nes Purim occurred during the 70 years of Golus Bavel. So if there's not Beis HaMikdosh, so the Gemara says you have no right to make a new Yom Tov. Sounds like it's Bal Taisif. The Chasam Sofer has two tshuvas about Lag Baomer. So in the first tshuva, the second tshuva, he backs out what he wrote in the first tshuva. And the first tshuva could be more correct than the second. First tshuva, he quotes this Pichorosh, that it would appear from the Gemara that there's an Issa Bal Tosif to make a Yontif that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdosh. And he heard that in Eretz Yisrael, in Meiron, they celebrate a lot on Lag Baomer, and it has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdosh. So he says, Iayashecheli Avatline, said if they'd listen to me, I would do away, he would abolish the celebration of Lag Baomer because it's an Issa Bal Tosif. It has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdosh. Then somehow in the second tshuva, right after the first one after the other, he backs out from the whole Pre-Chodesh and he thinks that it's not correct. But the Poshup Shat Nigmar is like the Pre-Chodesh said. Yeah, what's the story with these Yom Tovim, all the 25 or so, Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus? So the pattern after Rosh Chodesh, the Mechaba quotes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh that according to the Rambam, the Issa Hesped with Tainus on Rosh Chodesh is a din deraisa. Because on Rosh Chodesh there is a Chi of Simcha, but it's not a Chi of Simcha b'kum b'yasei. On Yontif, you say, Ein Simcha Samachta b'chagecha, so you say, Ein Simcha Ela b'bosar, Ein Simcha Ela b'yayin. On Rosh Chodesh, there's an Issa Hesped with Tainus, according to the Rambam, an Issa deraisa. But you're not mechuyev to do simcha b'kum yaseh, just simcha b'shev yaltas, not the things that contradict the simcha. So that's what the nature of all of these Yom Tovim is. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah and Purim, they establish these Yom Tovim as yimei simcha, but not simcha b'kum yaseh. Simcha b'shevi al tase. They're also b'tainis. That's why it's called Megillas Tainis. And some of them are also b'hespid as well. One of the great Ga'onim from 100 years ago was very, very sharp. But he was too sharp. So all of the chidushim that he says, la'aloch, are not accepted la'aloch. So Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe. Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe. Rabbi Tzela Petterburger from St. Petersburg. Rabbi Tzchak Blazer was one of the most outstanding students of Rabbi Sol Salanter. So he was a very strong amusa, but apparently couldn't control himself. So he had a negative comment about Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe. So he says they founded the Ponevizhe Yeshiva, and they put an advertisement in the newspaper, starting the yeshiva, we need big Talmid Chacham to give shiur. So the Marshal came for an interview, and Pnei Yeshua came for an interview, and Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe. So Marshal came, he said, he's okay for Hascholos Gemara, we'll give him the first grade. And then the Pnei Yeshua, he's a little spunkier, we'll give him the second grade. Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe, he's a God Lador. They gave him the top shiur. So even though Rabbi Tzela Petterburger was such a big balmus, that's what they say in his name, he had this comment. So Rabbi Tzela Ponevizhe had a lot of chidushim, aloha lamaisa. We don't accept any of them. So he had, one of his chidushim was that on Chanukah and Purim, you're not allowed to say a hesped. So he had a chidush, same thing, chalamayit, you're not allowed to say a hesped. So he had a chidush that the relatives who are oinin him are permitted to say a hesped, because the people, Misha Mesa Mutal Lufanov, is not permitted to fulfill mitzvahs. That's a dim in the rabbon, Shmeis Mutal Lufanov. Not allowed to say kriyashman, not allowed to daven, not allowed to say brachas, even on food. Not allowed to do any mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs that he's not allowed to do is Simchas Yontif. So since and the whole prohibition to say a hesped is because it's contradiction to Simchas Yontif. But since the oinonim, the rabbi can't deliver a hesped, but the relatives can. So since the relatives are not permitted to be mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, they're permitted to deliver a hesped. It's an interesting idea, but it's not oizgehalten, it's not correct, because the listeners are not allowed to listen. What does it help that the oval is allowed to speak a hesped, but the kohol is not allowed to listen? There's an issa to listen to a hesped, just like there's an issa to deliver a hesped. So that's the nature of the simcha by all of these 25 yom tovim, osa b'tainis, and some of them are even osa b'hesped. It's patterned after Rosh Chodesh, according to the Ramda. Rosh Chodesh is a din deraisa. That's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein deraisa Tikkun. The Taz has a famous kasha in Hilchas Chanukah. It says in the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, all of the suddas that you have on Chanukah are all suddas or shus. It's not a suddas al mitzvah. So the Taz asks the kasha, why is Chanukah different from Purim? How come on Purim there is lasas my mishta v'simcha? And Purim, there is Simcha Bekumi, I say, Akam HaChanukah, there is. So the Taz gives a local answer to that little Kasha, why is Chanukah versus Purim? The Kasha is much bigger, more than 25 Yomim Tovim that are listed in Megillas Tainis. The one and only one that has a Chiyuv Suda is Purim. So it's a much bigger Kasha. Much bigger Kasha. And the answer doesn't fully answer all. So the truth of the matter of the answer is the following. On Chanukah, there's no Chiyuv Suda because no Chiyuv Simcha Bekum Yasei. All of the Yom Tovim like that. One and only one is Purim, and the She'iltis, who lived in the days of the Ga'onim, he himself was not from the Ga'onim. He was a great Ga'on, but the name of the yeshiva was Ga'on Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish people. And the president of the yeshiva, like that, the president of the yeshiva here is Rabbi Berman. So the president, he happens to be a learned person, and he raises money also. In the days of the Ga'onim, the president of the yeshiva, we had Mr. Joel, was the president of the yeshiva. He'll be the first one to tell you he's not a Talmid Chacham. He didn't have any smicha from any institution. He was a fundraiser. So some of the Ga'onim were great Talmid Chacham, some of them were not. But we call them Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov, the president of the yeshiva. So the president of the yeshiva's job was to raise money, to raise funds. And some of them were great Ga'onim. So the author of the Shultas, Rav Rachoy, was not a president of the yeshiva. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He lived at that generation. He was a Goyim. But historically, he was not one of the Goyim. The Goyim were Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. That he wasn't. So he has the Girsa in the Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim says, one of the Amoraim used to fast every day. except for Erev Yom Kippur. There's a big mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And on Shavuos, there's a mitzvah to eat the elaborate meals, Yom Shinitim Batari, where the Gemara says, and on Purim. So in our Gemara, it says, on Purim, there's a mitzvah to eat, as it says in the Megillah Esther, Lasasasem, Imei Mishta B'Simcha. So the Shiltas had a different girsa. It's also Yom Shinitim Batari. So the Mordechai quotes this, Mordechai Megillah quotes this line from the Shiltas, that he had this girsa in the Gemara. So in all the editions of the Marcha, all the standard editions, and this Gemara here in Gittin, you look in the Marcha, so they have things always added on in brackets. So it says on the first page of the Marcha, this was added on. Today, people give a shem Shulchan Aruch. So you eat Shulchan Aruch, you eat the Mishnah Brura. You talk about the Shulchan Aruch. In the days of the Ramah, they didn't yet have it. The Shulchan Aruch wasn't so popular there. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kara. It didn't become such a major sefer to learn from. So in the days of the Ramah, he used to give shir on the Mordechai. He would read the Mordechai and give a shir. So the Talmidim sometimes put in brackets Heoris comments that the Ramah made. So they have on this, when the Mordechai quotes the Shiltas that he had to give us in the Gemara, that on Purim there's a chi of simcha, because in Allah the first there's a chi of simcha because Yom Shinit Matara. So they have there added on in the brackets, as it says in the Gemara, Kima v'kiblu, Kima mashi kiblu kvar. The Gemara says that Maimon Hasina, the Kabbalah Satorah, wasn't fully berotzen. The Torah Shebaal Peh was Baal Korcham. They didn't want to accept it. So after the Nes Purim, then they accepted it berotzen. So in that sense, Purim is a yontif when you're celebrating Kabbalah Satorah. So that's why Purim is different. It's not the explanation that the Taz gives. Taz gives a whole different explanation. The question is much bigger than the question of the Taz. It's not just how come Chanukah is different, but how come Purim is different from all the other 25 Yom Tovim and Megillah Stein
is. What
is the Taz's answer? The Taz has a famous answer. He says on Purim it was Lahashman Laharag Aliyabed, it's called Ayudim. They wanted to wipe out physically the Jewish people. So that's why we celebrate physically by eating and drinking and making merry. And on Chanukah, they didn't want to kill any Jews at all. They just wanted to do away with the Jewish religion. It was a spiritual attack against the Jews. So that's why we celebrate in a spiritual way. We don't have to celebrate in a physical way, because there was no physical sakana for the Jewish people. But the other Yom Tovim have nothing to do with this answer. All the Yom Tovim, the Tzad HaShabbat, all have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But and that's perhaps the Maskanas HaGemara also. The Sugya in Rosh Hashanah has this debate that started at the time of Churban HaBayis and continued till the middle of the Tkufa Samarayim. Should we still celebrate these Yom Tovim that were instituted Bizman Bayisheni? So the Maskanas HaGemara is, no Beis HaMikdash, so we observe Avelis now. We observe Avelis Tisha B'Av over the fact that you don't make Simcha, that there used to be a Beis HaMikdash and used to have beautiful gates and used to have. With the only two exceptions that we still observe are Chanukah and Purim. Why? So some in the Hasidic form they say that's the Pshat and the Gemara. Chanukah and Purim are not only connected with the second Beis HaMikdash, they have to do with the third Beis HaMikdash as well. We are celebrating in anticipation of the third Beis HaMikdash. All the other 25 Yom Tov and Megillah Steinus only had to do with the second Beis HaMikdash after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So they're batlum avutl, so you don't celebrate anymore. You observe avelus. But Chanukah Purim had to do with the third Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. In what way did Chanukah Purim have to do with the third Beis HaMikdash? That's an interesting question. So Purim was the second Kabbalah Satorah. So without a Kabbalah Satorah, if you're not the Kabbalah Satorah, you have no right to have Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says. So you have no right to Eretz Yisrael, you have no right to make a Beis HaMikdash. So it's because the first Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai, the Navi Yirmiah says, in the middle of Yirmiah, he says, I made a bris with your ancestors and you violated the bris, and that's why I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I had to send you all into Golos. And now I'm going to make a Krisis bris, this time it's going to be engraved on your hearts. You won't be able to throw it away, even if you violate the mitzvahs. You won't be able to break the bris. And this bris, which will be with you, the Krisis bris he's referring to is is after the Nes Purim, they came back to Eretz Yisrael. Nes Purim is till the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel. And then the representatives of all the Shvatim, this is described in Nehemiah, Ezra Nehemiah, it's described that they signed the declaration that they're all going to follow all the dinim of the Torah. That's known as the Bris Hamonim. Charat Eitchem Bris Chadosha. The Catholics refer to the Gospels as the Bris Chadosha. But we don't accept their ridiculous suggestion. So the Bris Chadosha is what it says in Tanakh. The Bris Hamonim that they signed in the Beis HaMikdash at the beginning of the Beis Sheni period. That was the Krisus Bris. And that Krisus Bris gave us the right to take over, to enter Eretz Yisrael. We didn't take over ourselves till the days of the Chashmonaim. That was way later. Chashmonaim were a little over 200 years before the Churban HaBayis Sheni. And for the first, it's a question of how long the Bayis Sheni lasted. The Gemara assumes the Bayis Sheni lasted 420 years. Bayis Rishon lasted 410 years. That says in Navi. Bayis Sheni, that doesn't say in the Navi. That says in the Gemara. So the Gemara says it was 420 years. Godly Yakvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchmen HaRishon. The Bayis Sheni is going to be much greater than the Bayis. What way was it greater? So the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra, so one Amara says, it lasted 10 years longer. That's the whole story. Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was missing so many things. And the old timers who remembered the Bayis Rishon, they said, this is a fake. This is not a real Beis HaMikdash missing. And they were crying. The younger people were singing and dancing, rejoicing when they built the Bayis Sheni. And the other people who remember the Bayis Rishon, this guy, I'm the A-Nam, this is nothing. This is not a real Beis HaMikdash. So what way? What does the Navi say? Godly HaKvod HaBayis HaZeh Acher Men HaRishon. So one opinion, Igmar, is going to be 10 years long and very difficult. The Goyish history books record that the Bayis Sheni was 150, 165 years longer than what the Gemara says. The Gemara says 420 years. The Goyish history books say, yeah, I don't know, the 165 years. That's significantly longer than the Bayis Rishon. So that's a question whether we accept. The Chazarish thinks that the Goyish history books are wrong and the Gemara's history is more correct. And the Gedolim thought that the Gemara made a mistake on the history. And the Goyish history books are correct. The Goyish history books have all these kings, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So it adds up to another 165 years. And the Gemara presents it as if all the kings, there was all the same person with five different names. And the Goyish history books say, no, there were five different kings, and each one and over a long period of time. So the Kabbalah HaTorah, that they had, Kima Likibla Kabbalah HaTorah on the occasion of Nes Purim, that's what enabled us to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time around in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's what enabled us to build the Bayis Sheni, and we don't have to have a third Kabbalah HaTorah. Even though we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, the Navi Yirmiyah said, this time the Krisus Bris is going to be engraved on your hearts. We won't be able to shake it off. And that Krisus Bris of Kima B'Kibla is what enabled us to seize hold of Eretz Yisrael in 1948 and to build the third Beis HaMikdash, Yibana B'mehera B'Yameinu. So that's why Purim has to do with the Bayis HaShlishi as well. The story of Chanukah has to do with the Bayis HaShlishi also. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael at the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel. They had permission from the Babylonian government to return back to Eretz Yisrael, and hardly anybody came back. 42,000 were changed. Hardly anybody came back. Hundreds of thousands of people stayed behind in Babel. All the religious Jews didn't want to go back. And then when they built the Bayis Sheni, it was very shvach, and the old-timers were crying. How does this? It's not a real Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael. He decided he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, he sends Nevi'im to give us Tochacha and Musa. We should do tshuva. We should stop doing Averis so we won't be punished. And when he's angry, he doesn't send any Nevi'im. But Gimel Nevi'im, Olamei Moed Mibavol, Chagas Char Malachi, he had to send, because without a Navi, you have no right to build a Beis HaMikdash. The Sifrei has a comment on the Pasuk, the Sheikh Nesidushu, Rosh Al Pi Navi. That Pasuk is in Parshas Re'eh, the Sheikh Nesidushu, Rosh Al Pi Navi. Question is whether the Gemara holds or not Rosh. So many Achrenim say, yeah, that's what the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im Olim Ma'im Bavel. These three Nevi'im were an exception to the rule. Each one of them, Chagas Chai Malachi, he was the only three. Each one gave a Nevu'ah at a different aspect of Binyan Bayisheni. So they were necessary, they were needed in order to be permitted to build the Bayis HaSheni. So they all said the same thing, that even though Bayisheni is missing so much, it's tremendous. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quoted by the Novi as saying, the Eretz HaBoy, this is my desire, the Yikobdo, I will be honored. Chagai Novi says, I will feel honored when you build the Bia Beis HaMikdash. The word Yikobdo is missing a hay. It's a Kri Yiksib, it says, Yikovei, and we read it, Yikovdo. So the Gemara says, so why do you read it, Yikovdo? Read it, Yikovei. Why does it have to be a flowery Hebrew and missing a hay? It doesn't have hay, read it, Yikovei. The Gemara says, no. The missing hay represents the idea that there were five major things missing in the Bayisheni. El chamisha dvarim shechasru b'Bayisheni. That's the Gemara, the first parak in Yuma. Which are the five things that the Gemara gives you a list of five? So Rabbi Kiveger, on the side of the Gemara Negil, you know, Shaz tells you to look on a different medrash, a different list of five things. Then you look on the back of the Gemara, the Fei Naim, in the late 1800s, when the Vilna Shas was being, when they were setting the type for the Vilna Shas, so the author of the Fei Naim happened to be visiting in Vilna. So they asked him, do you have anything on the Gemara? We're printing a Gemara. We can put you in the back. So he said, which Masechta are you about to set the type, and when is the deadline? So he told him, Balakama. So he said, okay, in 3 days. So he wrote the whole thing on the spot. And then when they set type for Yuma, he wrote everything. All those marmakamas, all over Shas, all over Yerushalm, everything was written in a few days. When they were setting the type, he was giving the marmakamas. They say he had a photographic memory. He was once out of town on the second Shabbos Chanukah. Usually there's one Shabbos Chanukah, but the first day of Shabbos and the last day, 8 days. So two Shabbos and Chanukah. Once out of town for Shabbos Chanukah, and the people didn't have a sitter that had the piyutim. Today nobody says the piyutim, but years ago they used to say the piyutim that were printed in the sitter. So they didn't have any siddurim. So the second Shabbos Chanukah, which once every, how often does it happen? So he said, it's okay, I'll say the piyutim out loud, and you'll say after me. He knew the piyutim by heart for the second Shabbos Chanukah. He had a photographic memory. So if you look there in Rabbi Kiveger on Yuma, and you look in Yifei Naim, they quote other sources. There were 25 things missing in the Bayisheni. Each medrash gives a different list of things that were missing, which were the most important five things that were missing. There were more than five things missing. So the Navi Chagai says b'nevuah, even though the old timers are crying and they say this is ka'ayim b'enem, this is nothing, I feel very honored, and there is a Hashuas HaShechina, even though it's not visible, it's behester, there is a Hashuas HaShechina, and he says, Hinanech Marish HaShamayim HaSa'oretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Novi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to cause a miracle to occur in the Bayisheni period, and Rashi on Treyosa says that's a reference to the Nes Chanukah. And all the nations of the world, all the going will come to the Beis Hamikdash to see what's going on over here, because they'll all hear about this tremendous miracle. Just what was the purpose of the Nes Chanukah? To demonstrate that there is Hashuas HaShechina here. And even though in the Bayisheni period it will be the behester, it won't be visible, only it will pop up at the Nes Chanukah, that the world will burn for 8 days. But later, when they build the Bayis HaShlishi, which will be a Hemshech of the Bayis HaShechina, Bayisheni was not a hemshech of the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon was destroyed, so it says, "Or Oravan Hayseidbo." They totally destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara has, let's say, a kohen who wants to be makor karbonis and the Beis Hamikdash has to be bar mitzvah. And he has to bring a minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch is a sefer, but it's a korban. Minchas chinuch is a korban that a kohen has to bring. A mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings it every single day of the year. Machtzisa bebek, machtzisa benabayin. By the Kohen Hedyon only brings it once in his lifetime before he's about to bring korbanos. So what's the din? A Kohen brought a minchas chinuch in the Bayis Rishon. Then the Beis Hamikdash is chorib 7 years. Then they build a Bayis Sheni, and he wants to continue. He's 85. He was 15. at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, he was bringing karbanos after the bar mitzvah. He wants to bring karbanos. Does he have to bring another minchas chinuch or not? So the Gemara Moed Katna has a pasuk. The Gemara interprets the pasuk. Yes, the minchas chinuch that he brought in the first place on Mikdash, that's gone and forgotten. He has to bring a new minchas chinuch. If there, it's been a long time since Churban Bayis Sheni. But if any Kohen brought a Minchas Chinuch and the Bayis Sheni, and he's still around 2,000 years later, to bring Karbonis and the Bayis HaShlishi, so the Pesuk Masei Bayis HaShlishi is a Hemshech and the Bayis Sheni. It's not a new, not like Bayis Sheni is a new thing. It wasn't Oru Oru Ad HaYisaybo. They know all the underground tunnels, they know where everything was in the Bayis Sheni, because all the tunnels are still there. Everything is there. So the Bayis HaShlishi is a Hemshech and the Bayis HaSheni. And that's what the Navi Chagai says. I'm going to cause a miracle to occur in the future. It was way after. It was 204 years, I think, before the Churban Bayis Sheni was the Nes Chanukah. So this is Chagas Chayim Malachim, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. This was way in advance, at least 200 years before. So the Navi said that Nes Chanukah is to demonstrate that there is Asras Hashchina. And when the Bayis HaShlishi will be built, that'll be the Hemshech of the Bayis HaSheni, then they're going to see the glory will outshine the glory of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built in the days of the Midbar. So that's what we assume, that both Chanukah and Purim are the two only, from the whole list of 25 Yom HaTovim, these are the only two that will continue to be, that we still continue to observe now, because we're celebrating in anticipation of the Bayis HaShlishi. About the Bayis Sheni, it's gone, so it doesn't make sense to celebrate what used to be. We celebrate anticipation of the Bayis HaShlishi. So the Gemara says, after the Chashmonaim had the Nes Chanukah, so they had to digest what happened. So a year after the Oshana Acheres, the Gemara says, Kvom Asom Yom Tov Mahalav HaHidoy, they made a Yontov of Chanukah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say right after Hakamas HaMedina. You have to digest it, what happened. You have to figure out how does this, you have to have a perspective. You can't make up decisions now. You don't know how long we're going to have Eretz Yisrael. L'shana Acheres, after a year, you can look back in retrospect and you see that you have a Medina. So the year after, they made a Yontav HaHalal HaHidoy. It doesn't say in the Gemara that they instituted Hadlokas HaMenorah right away. So that's some of the Polish Achronim have like that. Rav Soloveitchik used to say it in the name of the Avnei Nezer. I don't think it's in the Avnei Nezer. He misread. This is Sefer. There are three volumes by Reb Shula Kutna. He was a great guy in the end of the 1800s. He was one of the three Gedolim who recommended that in the kibbutz Maskeret Batya, that was the religious kibbutz that was founded in the late 1800s. It was paid for by Baron Rothschild, and his mother's name was Beatrice. Her Yiddish name was Batya. So Baron Rothschild gave him the permission. He visited them, and he saw that every morning they davened, and they learned, and then they did Avodah Sakarka. They were doing it. They had a farm. So he gave them permission to name the kibbutz after his mother. And he supported the kibbutz. So when it came the first Shemitah in the late 1800s, Shadow was going to observe Shemitah, they won't make a penny. They won't have any money at all. So the Baron will have to give more money. So the Rabbonim in Europe, these three Rabbonim, gave out a psak that they can sell the land to a goy and they can rely on the Het HaMechira. The Het HaMechira started in the 1600s by the Sfaradish Gedolim. There were no Ashkenazim in Eretz, so there were only Sfarim. But finally, a few Ashkenazim came, so they made the Badats in Yerushalayim, the Bezin Tzedek for the Ashkenazim. All the years, there was always Sfarim in Eretz Yisrael. So in one of the Sfarim by Rabbi Shua Lukutta, he was one of the three Rabbanim who approved of the Het HaMechira, who recommended they should use Het HaMechira. So in one of the Sfarim, they have Chidushim by someone who learned by the Avdei Nezer. So I think Rabbi Soloveitchik must have misread it. He read it quickly, probably. So he thought that the Avdei Nezer said, the Avdei Nezer didn't say, one of the Talmidim of the Avdei Nezer thought that they didn't institute, but Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it was an interesting idea. Maybe the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah was only introduced after the Churban Bayis Sheni. that for the first 200 years after Nes Chanukah, they didn't have any menorah. That was, he thought that made sense. There's a museum, there's a Torah museum in Borough Park by a fellow, some of the Babacher fellow, I forgot his name. So he has billions of dollars worth of artifacts from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of the Bayis Sheni. He has menorahs which are dated Bizman Bayis Sheni. He has menorahs with room for 8 neiros. So he, according to his information, they did have menorahs. They did have the mitzvah of hadlakas menorah even in Bayis Sheni. Okay, that's a question. Yeah, the Gemara says that when they instituted the mitzvah, very strange, when they instituted this mitzvah, the Rabban hadlakas hamenorah, they instituted with 3 levels, the basic mitzvah, mahadran, and mahadran, and a mahadran. You don't find that anywhere else, that they made a mitzvah, the Rabbanan, from day number 1, a mahadran, and had. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua asked. Why Manishtana over here? So he has an answer. Okay, maybe that's a correct answer. Pnei Yeshua on the sugi of Chanukah. He quotes a kasha that earlier Achreinim were bothered with. Why was it necessary for the Rabban Shalom to make a miracle? Because Timu Kol Hashmonim, all the Shema's eyes was Tami, so what? The din is that a Korban Tzibur, if you have no choice, you're permitted to bring a Korban Tzibur, even if you're Tami, even if the Shema is Tami. And Hadlokas HaMenayra has the status like a Korban Tzibur, so it's mutter to do it betumim. It's the mitzvah is more b'shleimusa if you do it betahara. But still, it's kosher. So why did Rabban Shalom make a miracle if it's not necessary? So there are different suggestions are given to answer that kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wanted to demonstrate Chibosam Shal Yisrael, that he's going to stand on his head, he's going to change Teva, Rabban Shalom is going to change Teva, a miracle, that they should do the mitzvah Bihidura, they should do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. If you bring a Korban Bitumah, it doesn't have the same, it's missing a little bit. Let's say most a Korban Pesach, if you bring betumah, is nechal betumah. That's a Mishnah. But all the other Korbanos that you bring betumah are not nechal betumah. You're not allowed to eat it. It's an incomplete Korban. So Adlokas HaMenorah, if you're madlik with Shem and Tomei, it's a lower level. It's an incomplete Kiyam HaMitzvah. There's a mitzvah Bishlei Musa, a mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa. There are lechatchilas there, right? Usually, Tosh says, usually if a din is lechatchilas, it's awesome, but the evidence mutter. That's a dead giveaway that it's only made the Rabbanon. And a din there, I said, there's not a chatchila b'diavad. So Tosh says, but in mitzvahs there are, let's say a korban chatos, you do 4 zrikas. And b'diavad, if you only did 1 zrika, you're to the mitzvah with the korban chatos, shalom b'shlemus. If you have tzitzis, you're supposed to have tchelus and lovin. If you only have one, you don't have the other one. See, mekayim partial credit. You mekayim the mitzvah, shalom b'shlemus. There are a lot of dinim. Tosh gives an example, chalitza. Chalitza b'shlemus, you have to have chalitza, sasandal, rikika, and the kriyas apsukim. So we pass like the Tanaim, the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Me'akib, and the Rekika is not Me'akib. Only the Chalitza HaSandabal, you only yoytza the mitzvah Shalom B'Shalom Musim. So that's a yisay that Tosfos has. That L'chatchila deraisa is only by mitzvahs. By Yisurim, if it's L'chatchila Tosfos, but yeah, but it's mutter, it's obvious that it's only Midirabon. That's a shayla deraisa L'chatchilas by Hafroshas Truma. L'chatchili have to be mafish chumim min amukav. But even if you mafish shalom min amukav, it's chal. Mukav means they should be near each other. The chumim should be near the chulin that you're being mater. So that's a question Rashi and Tosfos, whether that's a l'chatchila deraisa or a l'chatchila derabon. So Tosfos claims that that's a l'chatchila deraisa. You have to be mafish min amukav. So Tosfos obviously thinks that Afrosh's chum is a mitzvah, not just a matir. That's a big debate in Achrayim and Rishayim, whether Afrosh's chum is only a matir. If you're interested in eating it, then you have to have Afrosh's. If you're not interested, you're not mechuyif. What do you say? No. That's a big debate. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. Since the whole miracle of Chanukah wasn't really necessary, Al Pidin, it could have been Madlik, the menorah, with Shem and Tomei. But the Rabban Shalom made the miracle to show Chibosim, show Yisrael, that he's going to see to it that they fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So Bihidura, so that's why Lechatchila and Lechachamim instituted the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah and Chanukah. They made the basic mitzvah, Mahadran, Mahadran, and Mahadran. So what is the basic mitzvah? Neri Shabeso. Every household should light one menorah. The first night, one candle. The first night, one candle. The second night, one candle. The third night, and so on. Then Hamahadrin, light Ne'er L'Cholechad V'Yechav. What does that mean? So the Rambam says, take Lamoshel. I'm married to one wife. We have a chemder, a beta gershon, I have one wife, and I have nine children. So it used to be 11 people in the family, nine children and a father and a mother. So the first night, every night, means every night I light 11 candles. Then, mahadrim in a mahadrim, in moise v'hoylech, so the Rambam explains, the first night I light 11 candles, the second night I light 22 candles, the third night I light 33 candles, and the eighth night I light 88 candles. That's how the Rambam learns pshat. Tosfos does not learn like that. Tosfos understood, each member of the household lights his own menorah. So my wife lights her own menorah, and the nine children, each one of them lights their own menorah. You have 11 different menorahs, everyone's lighting. That's Nelech Alech Yechot. How can, once the first person lights his or her menorah, so everybody in the family was Yotzi already. So how can they say a bracha lahalik Nevshal Chanukah? What are you saying, a bracha and a mahadrin? But everybody was Yotzi already. So Magen Avraham quotes the Maharil. Some people have a Maharil, you don't need the Magen Avraham to quote it. So the Maharil says that if everybody plans to light their own, so it's like they have kavanah shel olotzeis. Let's say the Baal Tekeh blows shofar and shul, and some of the people have in mind, we don't want to be yotzei, we're going to go to a different shul to hear. And then they go to the other shul, they find out that it's locked. There is no other shul. So they have to hear the tekeis again. If they had kavanah shel olotzeis, then you're not yotzei. You're not yotzei mitzvah bal kochacha. So the Maharil says that if they're going to follow Tosfos interpretation, each member of the family got to light his own menorah. Obviously, they have in mind when the first 10 people are lighting, the 11th person has a mind not to be yotzei with any of these hadlakas. You have kavanah shel olotzeis, then you're not yotzei, then you're mechuyev to light on your own. So the mahadrin is they should have in mind not to be yotzei with the first hadlakas of the first few people in the family, then memela they'll be mechuyev to light on their own. And then you say moise v'holech. So what is that? So Tosfos claims moise v'holech does mean that each member of the household, the mahadra means each member of the family, or each one of the 11 people in my family should light one candle the first night. Each one should light one candle the second night. Each one should light one candle the third night. Mahadra and a mahadra doesn't mean that each one should light 8 candles on the 8th night. No, one person should light 1 the first night, 2 the second night, 3 the third night, and so on. Tosfos says, Mahadrim and Ahadrim goes back on the Ner Isha Besa, doesn't go back. So our practice is that it's half like the Rambam and half like Tosfos. We have Neluch Alecha V'yechod. We do like Tosfos, not the way the Rambam said. The Rambam says Neluch Alecha V'yechod means the Baal HaBayis lights 11 candles each night. And Moshe V'Holech, the Baal HaBayis lights 88 candles on the 8th night. Nobody else lights, only the Baal HaBayis lights. That's what the Beis HaLevi has, and Rav Chaim has, and Rav Dovah Soloveitchik, 3 generations in a row, they all write the same thing. Each one added on a little bit. The Rambam Shita is that it doesn't make sense to have Mahadran after you were Yotze the basic mitzvah already. So it was Ner Isha Beiso. So what do you mean? Someone else is going to light, but they were Yotze already. So the Rambam holds, the Rambam has by, the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, the 24 prokim Masechus Shabbos, one whole perek, is about bris milah, perek ablezer de milah. The perek ablezer de milah, the Gemara says, the moil has to cut off so much of the orla that's chayfe roiv ha'atorah. So the roiv of the atorah should be megula. So what if you cut off basa chayfe's roiv ha'atorah, and you have tzitzin, you have a little bit of skin, but the roiv ha'atorah is megula, so you can leave it the way it is. But the Gemara says, it's a hida mitzvah to do a neat job, not to have half a little bit of orla there. So you should cut off the rest of the or as well. So then the Gemara says, but if you already put on a bandage, already put on a band-aid to stop the bleeding, then you don't take off the band-aid and continue to cut later on. Why not? So all the Rishonim learning goes on Shabbos. If the bris is on Shabbos, so you're ready, whatever you do, whenever you cut skin, you're going to cause bleeding. So bleeding is going to be a malacha. Sometimes a malacha deraisa, sometimes if it's ain't tzvich l'gufa, it'll be a malacha derabbanan. Tzvich l'gufa will be a malacha deraisa. So on Shabbos, you're only allowed to be mechal Shabbos if it's a mila bizmana. So if you're already, we yotze the mila, you already cut off basar chayfas reifat Torah. So you already have the mitzvah. So what's the hetter to be mechal Shabbos to cut some more? But the answer is, if you're doing it right after you cut off the roif, you're going to cut off a little more, that's a hemshech of the mitzvah mila. So just say, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for the ikah mitzvah mila, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for the hemshech. But if the gmoil already put on the gauze pad, and then he's going to take it off and then continue to cut. So that's a new malach on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. But if he does it right away, then it's a hemshech of the milah, then it's also derech Shabbos. But if it's on the weekdays, so the Rishonim say, even if he already put on the gauze, he should take off the gauze and continue to cut off the rest of the or halo. You want to be mekayim hider mitzvah, that's the mahadran, zekeli v'adev, to have a nice bris milah. That's how all the Rishonim learn. The Rambam learns that Gemara goes on the weekdays. You don't gain anything by making a neat job if you already finished, you already put the gauze on, even on the weekdays. Don't waste your time to take off the gauze and cut off the rest. There's no hidden mitzvah. Hidden mitzvah is only when you're doing a mitzvah, you should do it behidurim. But if you already put gauze on, you're finished. And then if you're going to take it off, the hidden can't stand alone. So that's what the Rambam holds like that. The Rambam holds by Hadlokas Neira Shabbos, that's the Rambam, the Shitosai, that it doesn't make sense that other people should, the Hidah Mitzvah should be other people's light benayris. The father of the household, instead of lighting one candle the first night, he lights 11 candles the first night. And then the Mahadran and the Mahadran, instead of lighting one candle on the eighth night, instead of lighting 11 candles on the eighth night, he lights 88 candles. But it's one person doing all the Hadlokas, that's the Rambam Shita. And the Baal HaTosfos apparently hold. No, you can even, there's room to do a heder even after you were yotze the ikah mitzvah. That's a question how far you go with that. So the Gemara's lashon is that the ikah takanas hadlaka hamnar was neri shebesa. That phrase has a double connotation. Neri shebesa means besa zuishto. The whole family is yotze with one hadlaka. The husband, the wife, and the nine children. So all they need is one hadlaka. That's beso de mishpacha. And then beso, like it says, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says vidui v'chipa ba'do yad beso. He should recite vidui for himself and for the members of his family, for his wife. Beso zuishtoi and the children. And then beso is also din hadlaka has to be bid beso. Let's say you have class, so you're going to be madlik in the middle of class. The class is not beso. The class is belongs to the yeshiva. So that's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch and in Mishnah Brura and in Gemaris. How do you determine where is beso? So the Taz and Hilchas Chanukah refers you to a sugya in Eruvin. The Ramah in Hilchas Chanukah quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Ramah just quotes one line. You look in the Tshuvas HaRashba, the whole Tshuva is only one line. So it doesn't help. We looked up the Rashba, he doesn't say anything more than the Ramah. The Ramah says, in the name of the Tshuvas HaRashba, you should light the menorah b'makam achila, as opposed to the makam shina, so the place where you sleep. So you get the mistaken impression as if you have an apartment. So there's one bedroom and there's a kitchen or a dining room where everybody eats. So you should light in the dining room as opposed to the bedroom. So that's not what it means. That Rashba, so the Taz explained, that Rashba is giving a psak halacha based on a sugi and erevin. The din is an erevin. Each person has only one makam for Shabbos. Each person has one. My nafkamina, where your makam is, how far can you go for Tchum Shabbos? So if you live in a city, so the whole city is considered one big kedalat amiz domi. And everybody who lives in the city has the same Tchum Shabbos. You make the city a normal city. Yeah, first a couple of houses, then it keeps on growing up. So it's like an amoeba shape, circular shape. So the Mishnah has an erevin that you make every city, you draw lines as if every city is rectangular shape. So Manhattan is approximately a rectangle. So you just finish off the rectangle, make it into a... If you have a circular shape, it's not approximately a rectangular shape at all, then you make northeast, southwest, like on a map. You take the northernmost house in the city and draw a line like that. Easternmost, you draw a line like that. Southernmost, and the city is considered not always going to be a square, it'll be a rectangle. And then you have Chum Shabbos. Chum Shabbos, you can go, you don't draw Alpai Mama, you draw another rectangle around that. So in the corner, let's say the city is a rectangle like this, then if you're just going to say Alpai Mama around, so in the corner it's going to go around like this. So you don't do it like that, you draw another rectangle around the city. So you, in the corner it's going to be more than Alpai Mama. If you live up here, you're going to go there, that's permissible. So the rules and regulations. How do you determine where Tchum Shabbos is? So the question, but let's say the person does live in the city, he lives in the mountains all by himself. So there, you don't draw a square, you don't draw a rectangle, you draw a circle, whatever his house is, you draw a circle around it, and you're not marviach the corners. You're not marviach the corners. So the Gemara has a definition of an ear. What's the definition of an ear? It's relevant for Ori Miklot. The Ori Miklot have to have the status of an ear, and it's relevant for Tchum Shabbos, and it's relevant for Yeran Idachas. It's only a din of Yeran Idachas. It has a din of ear. There's several dinim. The Ravid in Hilchas Purim writes is relevant for Mikra Megillah, because the Mishnah says, Bizman Ba'ishenim used to be a kula, that the Kfar Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, those who lived in little villages, if Purim didn't fall out on Monday or Thursday, they fell out a different day of the week. So we have a kula for the Bnei HaKfarim. We permit them to to be yotze in the Mikra Megillah a few days before Purim, on the Yom HaKnisa. The Yom HaKnisa was Sheni V'Chamishi before. So the Ravid says, so what's the definition of a kfar? What's the definition of an ear? A krach means mukav chamim ma'aser shuvinun. What's the difference between a kfar and an ear? So he says, an ear has to have a minimum population. Where did he get that? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak, but again, the Irani Dachas. You have to have a minimum population. But Irani Dachas, there's a maximum population also. Because since Irani Dachas, you're going to burn down a whole city, you're going to give people an Oynish Misa. So you're going to get Oynish Misa anyway because they worship Tabar Zot. So it's a question which Misa they're going to get. So when it comes to Dini Nefosha, something like that, you always bend over backwards to darshan the psukim lahakil. So that's why the Gemara says, "Be'irani dachas." It's a din ir v'lo krach. If it's a big metropolis, then you don't burn down the whole city in Eretz Yisrael. Irani dachas only in Eretz Yisrael. So by irani dachas, a din ir v'lo kfar, ir v'lo krach has to be a city. So the minimum population we pass, minimum population is 100 people, and then there's a maximum there. But by Hilcha Shabbos, there's no maximum. So this din, that if you have enough houses together, you have enough people, you declare it's an ear, and the ear is always rectangular shape. That's only if you have a minimum population of 100 people. Then also the Mishnah has, it's a Mishnah in Makkos, it's a Mishnah in Erevin, about Chumen, and then it's a Mishnah in Erechin, about Bote Orichayma. If I sell you a house and an ear, it has to be an ear. What if I make a chaymer? I live in a desert in Eretz, and I put a chaymer around my house that doesn't have a din of ear. Hamakevus chaymer has to be an ear. So the Mishnah has the same definition in Erechin and in Erevin. That a definition of an ear is you have to have gimel chatzeres. You have to have three chatzeres. So chatzer means an area that's mukav mechitza, and you have a minimum of two batim, two families living. One family living in one bais, one family living in the other bais. That's a chatzer. And a mavui is an area that's mukhav mechitz, and you have two chatzeres opening up into it. That's the opening Mishnah in Erevin. You have a bayis and a chatzer and a mavui. So some of these are relevant on the level of the raisa. There are differences. Bayis, chatzer. In order to be considered a near, you have to have a minimum of gimel chatzeres, and you have to have a minimum of 100 people population. The question is, how long do they have to live there? Bikvias. What's the definition of bikvias? Let's say you have a hotel at the airports. So they always have, they'll have 1,000 people on any given night sleeping in the hotels. But they're only going to sleep there one or two nights, and they're going to take their connecting flight to go to Indonesia, wherever they're going to go. But they're not going to live there so long. So how long do the people have to live there? So the pashtas, we learned, Baba Basileus here, pashtas is sometimes they're a dinim that depend on living there 30 days. Sometimes they're a dinim depend on living there a whole year, Yud Beis Chodesh. So it should be one of those two. The Mishnah Berurah quotes those who say, if you rent it for 6 months, where does 6 months play a role? That's problematic. Why the Mishnah Berurah quoted those who say that by Erev it depends on 6 months. How close do the Chatzeres have to be? Let's say in America, let's say there's one Chatzer in Los Angeles, one Chatzer in New York, one Chatzer in Minneapolis. So that makes the whole United States one big year. How close do the Chatzeres? They have to be contiguous. They have to be touching each other. So Taisa writes in Erev, not Mistaber. They don't think that the Chatzeres have to be touching. But how far away can they be? They can be 1,000 miles apart. And you say the whole area is Gimel Chatzer, the whole thing is so not Mistaber. Not Mistaber that it has to be contiguous. Not Mistaber can be 1,000 miles. So what shear are you going to give? So Taisa says there is a shear there, I say, Shivim Amma Vishirayim. 70 Amas. 70 Amas is when you have houses, when you make a city, let's say you have a Chatzer. So when you have houses, you have a city, and then you build another house, another house, another house, another house. If the houses are within 70 amas, 70 and two-thirds amas of the previous house, then we consider it an extension of the city. So Taisa said, that shear, the Gemara has a whole Yalfusa, how they get to this shear, 70 and two-thirds of an amma. Shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 and two-thirds of an amma. So Taisa thinks, number one, that's a real drasha Gemara. I would have said it's absolutely an asmachta. The drasha. They said, no, that's a din deraisa. And then they say, and that's how close you have to have a, it can't be 1,000 miles apart. They can't get insist contiguous. So they think the shear is shivim amma v'shirayim. Just like that's the shear for tziruf batim to each other, that's the shear for tziruf chatzeris to each other. So you have to have three chatzeris that should be within shivim amma v'shirayim. Chatzer means an area that's enclosed. They have at least two batim in the chatzer. And you have to have a minimum population of 100. So that's what the Ravid carries over. The Ravid takes that shear that you need a minimum population of 100 people that says in Sanhedrin, Benigetu, Ir, and Idachas, and he carries it over to Purim. That's a difference between a kfar and an ir. Kfar makdimim, liyay maknisa, that kula doesn't apply bisman as anymore. That kula only existed bisman bayisheni. After the churban bayisheni, the Jews were scattered all over the Arba Kamfas Haaretz. And we're going to tell them they should read the Megillah on the Sheni V'Chamishi before Purim. They're going to get so confused. They're going to think that Pesach is a month after the day that they read the Megillah. They're going to get too confused. So we don't allow that kula anymore. But on the books, there was such a kula, this man by Sheni, that the Kfar Makdim Liyam Aknisa. And Ayoris Gedoilus, read the Megillah on Yud Dalin. Krachma Makal V'Cham Oysu Shabinun, they read the Megillah on Tezvav. So the Halacha, the halacha says like this, the whole purpose of Hadlokas HaNeris is to accomplish Pisumi Nisa. So if you light the candle in Times Square, the Babbage go to Times Square to light, always light in a big place, so they gain maximum Pisumi Nisa. So halacha says, no one's yotze with that. When you light in shul, it says the minig is, you always light in shul, old minig, but it says no one's yotze with that because it has to be Hadlokas HaBeiso. Some say you only need one member of the family should do Hadlokas HaBeiso, and the father lights at home, and the children can light in school. So we don't assume that that's correct. We assume each one has to light with beso. Each one has to light with beso. So the Gemara has there, again, an Erevin. The Taz refers you to the Gemara in Erevin, that the Chuvah Sarajbo is based on, the whole Chuvah Sarajbo is one line. He doesn't say what it's based on. The Taz explains it. So the Gemara there in Erevin says, each person only has one makam to a customer, and this is relevant to Tchum Shabbos. Let's say he doesn't live inside a city, and the whole city is Kedal Ramaz Doli, as big as it is, rectangular shape and so on. He lives in the mountains all by himself. So let's say he has two different apartments, has two homes. One place where he sleeps and one place where he eats the food. He doesn't want to have any mice where he sleeps. So he has two different. There's some people live in Teaneck. They have two apartments, a block apart from each other. So the children sleep in one apartment, and the parents sleep in the other apartment, a block away, and all the meals they eat by the parents. So it exists bismanas also. Let's say the students, you eat in the cafeteria, and you sleep in the dormitory, it's two blocks away. So what's the din if you have two different apartments, you eat in one, you sleep in the other? Which one of them is called beso, benegir to tchum Shabbos? Also benegir to, let's say, have an apartment building, So, min haTorah, the whole apartment building is one big Mishusa Yochid. The Rabban and Shlomo HaMelech made a takana. That's the second paragon here. He's made a takana that if a private family lives in one apartment, different private families in another apartment, and the hallway is used by both families, they're not allowed to carry from one apartment to the other, from apartment to the hallway, unless they make an Eruv Chatzeres. So let's say somebody sleeps in this building, but he eats in the other building, Kavua. He never eats here. He eats in the other building. Which one is called Besa? He only asses with respect to Takana Shleim Amel. He only asses in the place that's called Besa, and it's only one to a customer. There's only one place that's called Besa. There are other dinim also that depend on Besa. Some more in Hilchas Shabbos and some in Hilchas Avelis. How does one determine which is Besa? So the Gemara has a few klolim. You have to put all the klolim together. It says in Hilchas Shabbos that you have to benchlich bebeso. For Shabbos, you have to benchlich bebeso. So some women used to have a practice, if they had to go to mikvah on Friday night, on Leil Yantiv, they would be madlik neiris in shul. The mikvah used to be next to the shul. Now they don't do that anymore because the men are going to come out of shul, they're going to meet all the women who are going to the mikvah. So now usually the mikvah is nowhere near the shul. But years ago, so some women had the practice. They would light neiris in the shul, or light neiris in the mikveh. They wouldn't say the bracha neiris at home because they would leave home before the shkia. So that's not proper. Hadlokas neiris Shabbos should be b'deso. And the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you're visiting by someone else. I live in New York. I happen to be visiting, let's say, in Panama. I'm just a guest there. I live kavua in New York, so I'm an achsanoi. That's the definition of achsanoi. Taisus and Ervin quotes a Yerushalmi, what's the definition of achsanoi? A person is here, the family lives here kavua, in this home, and I'm there aroi. If I'm there also kavua, even though it belongs to them, I'm just a guest, but if I'm there for more than 30 days, I'm not an achsanoi. But if I'm there for less than 30 days, and they live there kavua, so I'm called an achsanoi. So achsanoi, the Gemara says in Masach Shabbos by the Sugi of Chanukah, achsanoi chai b'ner Chanukah. So that you guessed, how come the Dagmar Achsanoi is Chayv and Tzitzis and Tefillin and Kriyashma? What's the Chiddush Achsanoi is Chayv and Ner Chanukah? No, it's a Chiddush. Ner Chanukah, you only Yotze Hadlaka B'Beso. So if this is not Beso, I live in New York, I don't live in Panama. So how can I'm visiting by someone else. If they give me a hotel room, I'm the only one in the hotel room. So that's Beso. I don't have to be there for 30 days. But if I'm staying in their apartment, and their apartment, they live there Kavua, and I'm only there Aroi, so then it's a Chiddush. Achsanoi is chayv in Ner Chanukah. So then the Gemara says, how does he do it? The Gemara says, mishtate bepruta. He should make a shutvus with the balabais who's lighting Neris. The Gemara has it by Neris Chanukah, but the Shulchan Aruch has it in Hilchas Shabbos also, that the family who's visiting by another family should make a hishtatvus in the Neris that the people who live there are lighting. And agav them, the visitors will be yotze. So Rav Soloveitchik thought pshat was like some Achleinim say, the only way for the Achsanoi to be yotze is by mishtat to be put. You can't light his own menorah, because it's not beso. It's beso of the people who live there, kavua. Unless you're going to be there for a full month, for 30 days, but going to be there less than 30 days, that's not called beso. So the only way to be yotze is mishtat to be put. And Mishnah Berurah says not so. Mishnah Berurah assumes, if you want, you can be mishtat beput. If you want, you can be madlik yiromener. Rav Soloveitchik thought that more correct was like the other achrayim say, not quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, that the achsanoi can only be yotze with mishtat beput. So if you put together all the Mishnah Berurahs in Hilchas Shabbos, he has a little bit. Where do you do hadlaka? Hadlaka is there in Shabbos. Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos is going to be the same thing as Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah. It has to be Bebeso. So which is called Beso? So the Gemara says, if they're two different apartments, two blocks away, and one apartment I sleep, one apartment I eat, so the Gemara starts off by saying, it looks like a Machloikas Rav Shmo. Then the Gemara says, no Machloikas. We're talking about different cases. So the Gemara says, for example, the Bachrim in the Yeshiva, they had a dormitory, but they didn't have a cafeteria. So they used to farm them out to eat by balabatim. In the days of the Gemara, that's the way it was in Europe before the war. The Brachim was like Nes and Teg. They used to eat every Sunday night, they ate by that family, every Monday night by that family, and Shabbos they always ate by that family. So in the days of the Gemara, in the days of before the Second World War also, they would eat by balabatim. So the balabatim had their own children. So their own children, they gave big portions of food. And the yeshiva bachar, they treated them like a stepchild. They didn't give them the same amount of food. And so the bachar didn't enjoy it. So they enjoyed it better when they slept in the dormitory. So the Gemara says, if you have two different mekaymas, one you eat kavua, one you sleep kavua. So the one that you enjoy better, that's beso, and the other one is not beso. What if you're the equally uncomfortable or the equally comfortable? I'm visiting, I'm sleeping at one family. NTSY, you had Shabbatonim all the time. So you would tiptoe in the middle of the night at 12:30, Friday night, you go to sleep there, you didn't want to make up the people, then you're eating a different place. Everything is aroi. So if everything is equally comfortable, everything is equally uncomfortable, then the Gemara says the Makom Achila wins. That's what the Tshuva Sarashba said. That you light the Makom Achila, you don't light the Makom Shini. It does mean that you light in the dining room as opposed to lighting in the bedroom. He's talking if they're two different apartments, a block away from each other. So which one is Beso? So that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim said he always had to go home on Chanukah to light Neres Chanukah. But now that he got married, there's no rush. He'll come home at 12:30. His wife is lighting at home. He doesn't have to run home. He can stay in the Beis Medrash to learn and come home later. So this is a question. And if the father lives in, the family lives in Los Angeles, and the child is learning in Eretz Yisrael, that's Hadlaka Bebeso. His father's Madlik Bebeso. He's the other side of the world. The Pashtus in the Gemara is, and Pashtus in the Rishonim, it's only Beso. The Amor is going to go home tonight to his wife. He's married. But instead of going home at Shkia, when it's the correct time, you shouldn't miss. You want to have Pesumi Nisa for the B'nai Rishus Arabim in the days of the Gemara. So instead of going home right away at Shkia, so he's going to home at 12:30. His wife is going to light. So that's Beso, that's where he's going to sleep tonight, Kavua. He always lives there. But it was the other side of the world. I'll be Pashtas, it doesn't help that they're Madlikim over there. That's what the Mishnah Brewer writes in Hilchas Shabbos. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Bachurim ha-lomdim chutz le-beson. Boys are learning in the yeshiva away from their family have to be Madlik Neir Shabbos where they stay. So some achrayim made a diuk in Yiddish. Those who speak Yiddish made an incorrect diuk, because the Rishonim say they didn't speak Yiddish; they spoke whatever language of the country. So in Yiddish, a bacha means a single boy, as opposed to an avrech who's married, a younger man who's married. A bacha means single. So some misinterpreted. They thought if the fellow's single, he has to light the menorah. He has to light Neir Shabbos where he is. But if he's married and his wife is in California and he's in Yerushalayim, he can rely on his wife's hadlokas aneris in California. The Pashta says that it's not correct. The only time you can rely on your wife's hadloka is if it's bebesa. Besa means where you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep tonight. Not this, the other side of the world. That's not called besa anymore. So where are you supposed to light? So that if you light in Times Square, you get much more pisum in Nisa. But that the halacha says it has to relate to your bias. Halacha has to be bebeso. So where is you want to get the maximum pisum in Nisa you can get, but it has to, on the other hand, can't be too far away from your home, then it won't be mitzvah to beso. So how far away can it be and it still be mitzvah to beso? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Well, usually you learn Gemara, you get the impression Tosfos demolished Rashi. So the Mishnah Berurah says Rashi wasn't demolished. We can defend Rashi. He lists off a whole bunch of Rishonim who agree with Rashi. Rashi says Hadlok has to be Al Pesach Habayis. He can't light Al Pesach HaChotzer. He can't light in the Chotzer. He can't light Al Pesach HaChotzer. That's like lighting in Times Square. It's only Mitzvah to the Bayis if you light Al Pesach Besem Mibachutz within a Tefach to the Pesach Habayis. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch adopted Shitas HaTosfos, that more correct is to light Al Pesach HaChotzer. If there is no chotzer, then you light Al Pesach HaBayis. But if the bayis is within a chotzer, then the Pashtun says they did light up Pesach HaChatzim. So that's a question. Is there a din of Chatzim b'zman hazeh? So there's a Ramoa in Hilchas Erevin, where the Ramoa writes that we have certain kulas, that we have certain din that apply only to a Mavui. So he says, there's no din Mavui b'zman hazeh, because there's no din Chatzim. The reason why there's no Mavui is because there's no Chatzim. A chatzah means an area that has a mechitza around it where there are two batim, two families living. And so that's a chatzah. And a mavui is an area that's enclosed, mukaf mechitza, that two chatzeris open up into it. So that's called a mavui. So the Ramah quotes from earlier poskim, there's no din mavui bismanazah because there's no din chatzah bismanazah. There's no din chatzah bismanazah, so that poses a big question. How do you have a din ear? The definition of an ear, you have to have a minimum population living there, kavua, whatever, however you define kavua, 6 months, 1 month, 12 months, whatever kavua means. And they have to be in homes where gimel, you have to have minimum of gimel chatzeris within shivim amav shiraim to each other. So if the Ramah is telling us that we don't have a din mavi bizmanazah, because there's no din chatzah bizmanazah, there's no din chatzah, then there's no din ear, because the definition of an ear, both an erchin and an erchin, is you have to have a minimum number of people living kavua in Gimel Chatzeres. So there's no din chatzah bizmanazah, there's no din ear. So that's a big question. There's no din ear. So you can't walk from one end of Manhattan to the other. Everybody's tchum Shabbos should be 18-minute walk. A sheer mill. Tchum Shabbos is a sheer mill. How long does it take to walk a mill? 22 and a half minutes. So you can only walk 22 and a half minutes away from your home. Because there's no dinir b'zman hazeh. Nobody observes that. So that the Marsham works on that kash. So the Marsham gives an answer, the Pashta says he's not correct. Marsham is always known as a mekel. So I'm mekel on everything. That's what the Daki Tshuva from the Minkacha, he writes in the introduction that he's going to quote all the Marshams. But you have to take the mashams with not a grain of salt, a pound of salt. He's too much mekel. He's going to let you know what the masham says. The masham says, to be considered an ear, you can either have gimel chatzeris or a population of 100 people. The pashtus says that you need both together, not one or the other. He's trying to save the din. How can people walk from one end of the city to the other? It's more than 22 and a half minutes. It's already chutz l'tchum. So we say the whole city has a din kedal al amzdam. Who says it has a din of a city? There are no chatzeres bizman hazeh. Why are there no chatzeres bizman hazeh? Because the chatzah means you have an area that's mukav mechitza, and you have two batim there. And one of the people do, they have barbecues in the chatzah. They sit in the summertime in the sun. They have tables and they do homework. They read books there on Shabbos on the weekdays. They use the chatzah. By us, where do we have a chatzah? The hallways of the apartment buildings. That's a chatzah. You don't ever eat in the hallways of the apartment buildings. Once a year, they eat in the hallways. The little bedikas chametz. The mothers don't want the children eating the pizza in the house because they clean up the Pesach. So they tell them eat the pizza in the hallways once a year. You don't use it. No one sits in the lobbies and reads a book. You take your suitcases. If you went out of town, you take your luggage. And you stand in front of your door, you open up all your five locks, and then you go into your apartment. You don't use the hallway. We don't use the hallways. Maybe the dormitory is a chatzah. That could be. Maybe the dormitory is a chatzah. Because the people take a shower down the hall, and they walk down the hall half undressed. They walk with a towel around them, or they walk in pajamas or whatever, and they walk into someone else's. And maybe the dormitories have a din of a chatzah. But a normal apartment building, that's what the Ramah says, ain't lana din chatzah b'zman hazeh. So the quote from the Chazon Ish that he said, just like the Ramah said, I thought of this on my own, so I think the Chazon Ish is right here. I thought, just like the Ramah said, there's no din chatzah b'zman hazeh b'negeh to Erevin. You don't have the kulas and the chumas of chatzah, so there's no din chatzah b'negeh to hadlokas neres chanukah either. So even Tosfos says you can light. Tosfos says not like Rashi. Rashi says you have to be madlak al pesach habayis. If you light in the chotzer al pesach chotzer, you're not yotze. Rashi holds you have to light al pesach habayis. That's as far as you can go. You light further away, you get more pesach medisa, but you kill the whole mitzvah. It's not related to besa. In the Shulchan Aruch, they paskan like Tosfos, that you can light up Pesach HaChotzer. Preferable to light up Pesach, but that's a shayla b'zman hazeh, we don't have any Chotzer. That's a shayla in Eretz Yisrael now. A lot of people live in apartment buildings in Eretz Yisrael. Then they light the menorah in front of the apartment building. In front of the apartment building, they don't live in the whole building. They live in one apartment in the building. So that's not al Pesach HaBayis, that's al Pesach HaChotzer. But Eilana din Chotzer b'zman hazeh. How are they Yotze with that locked in? It's very questionable whether they Yotze. So that's the shaila here. So here for many years, what do you do over here? Let's say in the dormitory room, how many people sleep in a room? Two, three, four. Not so many people. How many people eat in the cafeteria? Two people in a room. How many people eat in the cafeteria? Sometimes you have 100 people. Sometimes 200 people. You have a big crowd. So the Magen Aram says, if you have a toss-up between one place where you eat, Makom Pita is good, and we paskin if you have two different locations a block apart. One is where I eat, and one is where I sleep. Kavua, you always eat there, or sleep there. But if the one that you eat in, you have 100 people there, and the one that you sleep, there are only two people in the room, so that's more private. So the one that's more private is considered the more comfortable one. So that's called Beisel. Even though usually the Makom Achila should beat up Makom Shina, Makom Lina, but if the Makom Achila is open to the public, they have a different price for outsiders that come to the cafeteria. But outsiders come to, years ago, many more outsiders came to the cafeteria. They didn't charge so much. So there's a lot of people from the neighborhood used to eat. The people from Breuer's used to eat, and the married couples that live in the neighborhood used to eat in the cafeteria. On Shabbos and Yom Tov and on weekdays. Maybe now they don't have so many. But anyway, it's much bigger. So Rav Moshe Weinstein has a tshuva. He says the boys are learning the yeshiva. They're not yotze if they light in the cafeteria. You have to light in the dormitory because it's much more private. You have two people in a room. Oh, the yeshiva is there. Three, four people in a room. Not so crowded. So that's where it was in our yeshiva. We always used to light in the dormitory till a few years ago. And one of my brilliant students lit the menorah in his dormitory room, right next to the curtain, and it didn't stay. It didn't stay in the room, and the curtain caught fire, and the whole dormitory almost burned down. So Anne in Cleveland, in Telsey Yeshiva, there was a fire when several of the students died because of the fire. Several students died. So Dr. Lim was so petrified. This fellow who made the fire in the dormitory, he's one of the people who's suing the yeshiva now. One of the tzaddikim who's suing the yeshiva because they didn't treat him nicely. He should be thankful that they let him graduate. He should have kicked him out on the spot. He never paid for the hefsed bummin that he made. Anyway, so Dr. Lam at that time prohibited anybody from lighting in the dormitories. So the shad is, where are you going to light? So maybe in the dormitory, maybe the hallways are a chutzah, because the guys use the showers and they walk half undressed, they walk in their pajamas. There is a hishtamshus in the hallways. So maybe if you got a light, if there's one room on each floor that everybody sits and schmoozes together, there's a lounge on each floor, I don't know. So maybe the lounge, maybe it is a chutzah. So in the Shulchan Aruch Paschim is like Taisus. You can light in the chutzah up until Pesach HaChatzah Mibachutz. Maybe it does have a din of chutzah. But if you're going to light in the cafeteria, the pashta says that, like Rav Moshe said, the cafeteria is much more crowded than the private room. The private room where you have two people in a room, two or three people, that's a bias. That's private, that's beisel. And the cafeteria, which is you have 100 people at any given time, that should not be the right place to go. Then the Mishnah Berurah has another din. What if a couple is married and they're coming to visit by the parents for all the 8 days of Chanukah? So he says, if you're there for all the 8 days of Chanukah, then from the perspective of Chanukah, you're there l'yoylem void. From the perspective of Chanukah, Chanukah is only 8 days long. So this is based, we learned Bava Basra last year, and Bava Basra Dav Chof, the Gemara talks about if there's a mace in a room and the tumah goes out from one room to the other, Unless the door is closed. So if the door is fully closed, then the tumah doesn't go out. But the door is probably open on the bottom a half an inch. It's not all the way closed to the bottom. So if the door is sealed up, it's kavua, they never open it, then the opening on the bottom is not a tefach al tefach, so the tumah will not go out. But the door is not sealed up, kavua, it's only closed. Someone's going to open the door in another 10 minutes. Someone's going to walk in, walk out, usually. So then, if it's not completely closed, then it's not choytzitz b'fnei atumah. What happens? The Gemara has a case. Somebody died in shul on Shabbos, and the Kohanim couldn't go to shul because the tumah would go from one room to the other. So they moved the Aron Kodesh to block the opening between the room where the person died and the room where all the Kohanim were going to go to daven. So the Rishonim asked a question, but they weren't going to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently. They're going to move it back after Havdalah. Amitzoy Shabbos is going to move the mace somewhere else, going to bury him. And then they're going to move the Aron Kodesh back where it belongs. So they didn't put the Aron Kodesh there permanently. So the Rishonim say, if you leave the thing there, calls Mansha Meisham, as long as the mace is there, that's from the perspective of Tumas Mace, that's clear and void. Let's say you have a sukkah, and the schach is l'mayla meser mama, so you put the things on the floor to elevate the ground level, so the schach is not within eser mama. So the Gemara says, that would be good if you plan to leave the stuff on the floor permanently. But if you're only going to leave it there temporarily, the ground level is below the mattresses that you put. You're not going to leave the mattresses there forever. So how long do you have to plan to leave the mattresses there? That it should, the ground level should be on top of the mattresses and the schach should be tochem eser mama. So some Rishonim say, indefinitely, if you plan to leave it there indefinitely. Other Rishonim say, Mishnah Berurah's Meikel, if you plan to leave it all the 8 days of Sukkot, all the 7 days of Sukkot, from the perspective of Sukkot, that's Le'el Avod. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, something similar here. An original Chiddush, he doesn't have a Mokka. He says, if the family comes for all the 8 days of Chanukah, from the perspective of Chanukah, they're there, Le'el Avod. All the 8 days of Chanukah are going to be there. But if they're only going to be there some of the days of Chanukah, not all, then it's not called Besam. Then they're called Achsenoi. Then they're called an Achsenoi. Achsenoi can only be, I'd say, with Mishtat de Berputa. A lot more dinim, interesting dinim over here. Some of these dinim are dinim deraisa. If you hold that Tchumen is deraisa, the Rambam holds that Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is deraisa. The Mechaber Paschal like the Rambam, the Goinim. Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is deraisa. So some of these dinim are dinim deraisa. Which place is Beisa? Also the dinim are derabonans. The whole purpose of Hadlok of Eretz Chanuk is, the Rambam writes, Laharos or Legalos es Hanes, to accomplish Bisumi Nisa. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Svara, that in Masechah Sofrim it says, if you like the Neres, the Haneres Halolo on the Madlikim. See, he was under the impression that Haneres Halolo is Me'akev. If he didn't sing Moz Tzur, that's a piyut that was composed later. That's not part of the Takanas Chacham. But in Masechah Sofrim it says, you have to sing Haneres Halolo. So he thought that whenever you have a mitzvah, Bisumi Nisa, we don't have so often. Whenever you have a mitzvah, Pisumi Nisa, Abakosis and Hasebus for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa. So we tell the whole Haggadah, we tell the whole story. Hadlok is Neres Chanukah is for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa. So he thought you have to say, Neres Halolu. And Mikra Megillah is for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa. So we read the whole Megillah, we tell the whole story. He thought that reciting Neres Halolu could be Miyakiv. So he instituted that even in Shul, when they light in shul, everybody has to sing together Haneiros Halolu. In order to be yotze this minig, it's not a din, it's a minig, to be madlik, the menorah in shul. So all the people want to be yotze that minig, so the only way to be yotze, if everybody sings together, says or sings together Haneiros Halolu. That was an interesting suggestion. Okay.
Rabbi? In the case of the dorms, for example, they're only allowing one chatzer to light Hadlokas Neres Chanukah in one floor.
One floor. They don't allow on the lounge of every floor.
On the lounge of every floor, but people use that, let's say the second floor where they're allowing us to light, everyone uses that lounge because it's the biggest lounge.
Yeah.
Sort of like the ping pong tables are or whatever. Is that considered my chatzer then allowed to light there as well?
I would think that it's not. I would think it's my chatzer. Would I ever walk in my pajamas to the other floor? They would?
Yeah.
They would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. From one building to the other, also. They're walking their pajamas in the street. I don't know. When I stayed in the dormitory, no one was walking from one floor to the other in their pajamas or in their towel. You took a shower, you walk in your towel from one floor to the other. You walk on your floor till you get to your... I don't know. That's a question. Okay, these are some of the inyanim of Chanukah. Tomorrow, believe me, we'll go back to Chazorah. We'll do some more Chazorah.